Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff wraps up his message, Striving for Spiritual Gifts, from the series Stronger, and encourages you to desire for God to use your gifts to build up others and exalt the Lord Jesus. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
Jude 20 says this, build yourself up in the most holy faith. That's edifying yourself. Like, there's nobody that would push back if I said, hey, I spent a lot of time this week just seeking the face of God in prayer. I was edifying myself. Nobody would be like, that's so selfish, Pastor Jeff. Or if I told you how I spent time this week in God's Word and letting God study me as I was studying his word and was growing in his faith. Nobody would say, oh, Jeff, that is so selfish of you to do personal Bible study. But when it comes to tongues, people are like, whoa, that's just so selfish. It's not selfish. It's self-edifying. And there's nothing wrong with self-edifying because I'm telling you, the more I pray, the more I know God's word, the more passionate I am for Jesus, the more I can be a blessing to the body of Christ. So some people say, well, are those gifts for today? I would say, yeah. So now that I've kind of laid a foundation, I want to share some stories today from my own life so that you can understand where I'm coming from, okay? So I got saved in the summer of 1989, okay? Wasn't familiar with tongues, wasn't familiar with prophecy, never been around it. If people would have talked about it, I would have kind of written them off as just freaky, weird people. I wasn't around it. I went to Promise Keepers in 1996 at a clergy conference in Atlanta, Georgia. And I didn't even know, I was a young guy and I didn't even know if they'd let me in. I thought you had to have like a pastor credential or something for it to get in. I'm like, I'm just gonna go. And I ended up not only getting in, I sat in the first seat in the first row for 3 days. And several speakers spoke to my life and it was great. And there was a guy by the name of John Maxwell. Some of you have heard him. And at the time he was a pastor of a church in San Diego. And he told the story about a friend of his named Bill Clawson. And Bill had come into his church when John was a young pastor. And John was running a busy schedule. And John said to him, how can I help you? And he said, well, you can't help me. I'm here to help you. He's like, well, how are you gonna do that? He goes, God's called me to pray for you every day to accelerate his work in your life. So John Maxwell went on to give his whole talk on prayer and the importance of having prayer partners in your life. And here's what he said. At the end of the message, he said, I just want you to turn around to somebody in the audience. I want you to pick a prayer partner that for the next 30 days, you'll just pray with. And so I started turning around. I'm like, who am I going to get? And I saw this white-haired gentleman that was sitting there combed all the way back. And it seemed like everybody was trying to crowd around him like they wanted him. So I'm just kind of looking around. And he looked at me. He's like, I want you. He said, okay. So we went to sit down in these chairs and he says to me, he goes, no, the intercessor always stands. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means, but okay. And he laid hands on me and began praying things for me from my heart that only I knew. And at the time, like I wanted to be a football coach. That's what I wanted to do more than anything in the world. I want to be a football coach. And I told the Lord I'd give him 2 years as a youth pastor. And then I was going to go on and be a football coach unless he called me to ministry. And that day in Georgia, as he laid hands on me, he started prophesying over what God wanted for my life and how he wanted me to be a pastor. And from Jeremiah started saying, you're going to be a pastor of pastors and you're literally going to send people all over the world. That was 22 years ago, right? Today, amen. Now, I didn't know what God was going to do. I still don't know what God's going to do. I still feel like I'm in the middle of my story. I hope I'm in the middle of my story. But I'm telling you right now, that encouraged my heart. I mean, that spoke to me so deeply that God was saying, no, I know you love football. I know you love that. But this is where I'm calling you. This is where I want you to be. I want you to be my coach for this team, my church. And so that's how God's led me. Man, that's the first time that ever happened. And so he prays this deep, big prayer over me. And then it was like my turn to pray for him. And I'm like, dear God, I pray for Bill. He's a nice guy. Help him. I mean, I didn't know how to pray like that. I didn't even know what to do. I was just kind of embarrassed. And he kept sending me notes and encouraging me. And it was prophetic in my life. There was another time a few years later, I was going to be a counselor for a camp on a weekend at a church. And I knew it was a charismatic church. And again, I mean, I didn't have any gifts. I didn't have any gifts of prophecy or tongues. Prayed about it. But I was journaling the night before we were at this camp. And I was praying. I was like, Lord, I don't get it. I don't speak in tongues. If that's a true thing, I want it. If it's not, I don't want it. Lord, I don't know anything about prophecy. How come I don't see people getting healed? How come I don't see people casting out demons? I mean, I've never seen people like raising from the dead. I mean, I've never seen any of this stuff that I read about in your word, but if it's true, I want it. And by the way, I'm sick and tired of going to seminary because I hate going to the library. That's not how you created me. And there's all these people that are going to hell and I'm going to the library. I'm like, I just want to quit school, right? So the next day, we're in this church. There's only 18 people in this large church. It's all of us as counselors that are sitting down front here. And this guy that's going to be the speaker for the weekend, he says, hey, I just want to minister to you guys before the weekend because you're going to be taking care of kids. And I'm like, cool. He's going to preach a little bit, teach a little bit. And I'm sitting there. And he just says, you guys can kind of spread out. I just want to talk to you. And it was the weirdest thing I'd ever experienced. I mean, it felt like the room was heavy, like I couldn't stand up. So I went and just sat on the platform. There were stairs going up to the platform of the sanctuary, and I sat there. And I remember he went and touched this one girl right on her shoulder, just whispered in her ear, and she just broke and started crying. Her husband was standing right next to her, and he started crying. I'm like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Like, I don't know what's going on. And as I've told you before, I'm not really emotional of a person. That's not really how I roll. But I just felt like I was going to start crying. Well, about the fourth time after he did this thing, he saw me sitting on the stairs. And so he comes over behind me, right? Now, keep in mind what I journaled the night before. He lays his hands on my shoulders. And when he did and began to speak, I just lost it. I mean, he started weeping. First words out of his mouth, stop looking for signs and wonders. You will cast out demons. You will heal people. You will see the dead rise, but rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I've cast out demons. I've seen people healed. I've never seen the dead raised other than spiritually. I hope that's coming, right? But it spoke to my heart. God heard me. Then he said this, and continue to study God's word because the ministry God's called you to, you'll need to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. So I stayed in school, right? Is that prophetic? 100% it is. It changed the course of my direction. Now, some people are like, that's just so subjective. What do you do with that, Pastor Jeff? Here's what I would say. Turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, right after Jesus gets done saying, or Paul gets done saying, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Notice what he says. Do not quench the spirit. Do not quench the spirit. How are you going to do that? What's the next verse? Do not despise prophetic utterances. Don't despise them. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. Don't say prophecies don't exist. Well, then what do I do with them? Here's what he says. But examining everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good. In other words, when there is prophecy that comes, hold fast to that which is good, spit out the rest. Take the meat, spit out the bones. I've had good experiences with prophecy. I've had some ridiculous experiences with prophecy, right? I'm telling you the good ones today. We'll talk about some of the bad ones next week, all right? When we talk about how they operate, right? So what happens when you have prophetic utterances? You grieve the spirit of God when you despise prophetic utterances. Well, I don't want to be in a church where the Spirit of God speaks. Hey, I do, right? Well, that's just a little crazy. Here's what I think is crazy. I think it's crazy to be a group of people that say we believe fully in the Word of God when the Word of God teaches prophecy in tongues, but we'd rather say that doesn't exist and experience the power of God. That's crazy, right? So what do we do with these things? When they come, we check it with the Word of God. If it doesn't align with the word of God, flat out not true every single time, right? I remember when we were out here, we've been out here like a year, and Kim called me on the phone one day and she's like, hey, isn't Denver a desert? And I'm like, we're from the Midwest. We didn't know. I'm like, yeah, it kind of is. It's kind of a desert. She's like, do you remember that prophecy they prayed over us when we were engaged? And I did. Because there's a group of people, when we were engaged, we were in a meeting one time and people were praying over us and they prophesied over us that Kim and I were gonna move somewhere to a desert and we're gonna be an oasis for people that were gonna come from miles away to be nourished on the word of God. And then she's like, do you remember what they told me? And I'm like, no, tell me what they told you. And so they said, remember they saw that little Nike sign over me and said, just do it because Kim, you're not gonna wanna go. And that played itself out perfectly. I mean, that's a prophetic word. And we didn't even remember the word until it happened. And then when it happened, it was like, how encouraging is that to know God had that in mind long before it happened? That's a prophetic word, right? Or how about this? You know, a few years back, we were trying for child number three. Child number three is not coming. Child number three is not working. It's month after month. Now it's year after year. And every month my wife's getting desperate. She's saying, I know God has someone for us. I just feel like there's a third. I just know it. Now she's like, I feel like there's a fourth and fifth. But I know it, right? And one day she called me on the phone and she's like, you'll never guess what somebody told me. And there was somebody in our church that said that she had a vision of holding this little baby girl. And she was holding her in her arms and she kept looking for her mom. She's like, I was looking for her mom. I was looking for her mom. Who's the mother? Who's the mother? And she said, Kim, you walked up and I gave the baby to you.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Striving for Spiritual Gifts, from the series Stronger, encouraging you to desire for God to use your gifts to build up others and exalt the Lord Jesus. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is bravepastorjeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
And Kim knew at that time, and when Kim told me at that time, I'm like, we're having a little girl. I know we're getting pregnant now, right? Now, she tried to explain the prophecy, and she said, I think what it means is in church, we're going to have some spiritual births, and God's going to grow things. We're like, nah, we're having a little baby girl. So that day, we named my daughter L. Elizabeth, which means she is God's promise. A month later, she got pregnant. 20 weeks later, we're in the doctor's office, and we already knew we were having a little girl, so we let our daughter Brooke, you know, do you want to find out what you're having? We're like, we already know what we're having, but you can tell our daughter. And we had a card there that said, hey, you're going to be a big sister to your baby girl, to a baby sister, right? I mean, we knew that. That's prophecy. Right? That's encouraging. Now, I've been on the giving end. I've been on the receiving end. I was at a camp recently where the men line up and they give prophetic words. And I've been on the receiving end of that and received some good stuff. But in this camp, I was on the prayer team, which is where I'm most comfortable. So I'm training guys how to pray and let's ask God to work. And it was exciting. Well, 3 minutes before they did the prophecy time, I got called. They said, Jeff, we need you. We need another guy to do prophetic words. I'm like, I'm not really skilled in that, you know, but if you want me, like, what do I really do? They're like, just listen to Jesus, pray. If he gives you a word for somebody, just tell him. I'm like, okay. And so that day I was sitting on this stump out in the wilderness. Guys were lined up about 10 feet away. I didn't look at them because I didn't want to like try to figure them out and try to say something clever. I just prayed and I would just tell them what was on my heart. So I'd beckon them forward, then I'd stand up and open my eyes and see who they were. And it was really encouraging words. It just kind of blessed them. And guys were like, man, that's what I needed to hear. And I felt alone, and that's what I needed to hear. And it was kind of a cool experience until one thing happened. As I was sitting on that stump, I got this picture that I was supposed to tell the next guy. And I'm like, I'm not telling the next guy this. There's no way. Because the picture I got in my head was that the next guy, whoever he was, it was like, I saw this guy covered in this white sheet, okay? And over the top of his head was like a shower faucet and blood was like pouring down over everywhere. I mean, like a horror film. And when he moved to the right, the shower went with him. And when he moved to the left, the shower went with him. And that's all I saw. I've been a Christian for a long time. I'm like, there ain't no way in the world I'm going to say that to this guy. And then it just wouldn't go away. And so I kept praying and I kept praying. I'm like, Lord, this can't be you. I mean, this is the silliest thing. I mean, this is dumb. I mean, and it wouldn't go away. And finally, I got to a place like, well, you know, whoever comes forward, I mean, it's 12 o'clock right now. The camp ends at 2. I can sneak away. I'll never see this guy ever again. Okay, God, I'll say it. And so I beckon the guy forward and I stand up and I open my eyes. And wouldn't you know, he goes to our church and he's 15 years older than me. I'm like, darn it. So I told him what I told you. I said, well, hey, this is what I see. And I said, okay, like, you know, does that make sense? And I sat back down, and as I sat back down, I was just kicking myself like, you idiot. You're going to lose him. You're going to lose his family. People are going to think you're a freaky pastor. I mean, it's over now. So I'm trying to figure out how to get out of camp. And 20 minutes later, that whole thing ends, and somebody comes up to me and said, hey, did you hear about that prophecy that you gave? And I'm like, well, which one? They said the blood one. I'm like, oh, great. Now word spread. And I'm like, nope, didn't hear about it. And he said, he just shared with us what you shared with him. He's been a Christian for a long time, and he's been coming to this camp, and he knows Jesus loves him, but he always feels like he loves other people more than he loves him. And his prayer had been before this time and the whole weekend long that if Jesus just had one drop of blood for him, that would be enough. And you told him that he was covered in the blood. Amen? Amen. He was here in the last service. We've met. I've talked to him. I've told him how scared I was and all this stuff. I'm not an expert on prophecy. I don't get it. I just know it's real and I know it works. That's prophecy. I would love to see more encouragement, more edification, more consolation in our church and how God could use us in that way. It doesn't mean we walk around saying, God told me to tell you. God never told you to tell anybody anything. He told you to tell people what's in the Word of God. Amen. If God gives you a word for somebody, it's very humble. It's very sincere. It's very, hey, this is what I think when I pray for you. Does that even make any sense? And then that person gets to choose whether it made sense or not. They get to take the meat and spit out the bones. They get to say, no, it doesn't even resonate with me at all. And that's cool, right? You're not the authority. Jesus Christ is. So what about the tongues gift? I want to talk about tongues a little bit too. Again, it's not a sign of maturity. It's a gift. I prayed for the gift of tongues for years and years and years and years. Never got the gift of tongues. Never got the gift of tongues. Could be in places where tongues were being spoken. Never felt like I was less of a Christian. Never felt less than, neither should you. But I just didn't have it. But I kept praying for it, okay? Well, wouldn't you know, in the summer of 2007, I'm praying in my office one day, and these words start coming out of my mouth that are unknown to me. My heart is totally full. I'm feeling warm inside. I'm excited, and I'm like, whoa, what was that? And I'm like, that can't be tongues. I mean, that's just gibberish. I don't even know what I'm saying. It can't be. But it felt so right. And when I was doing it, I felt like I was worshiping Jesus. So for about 3 months, I kept saying, Lord, if this is you, I want to grow in it. If it's not you, I don't want anything to do with it. Just help me. Because I come from more from a background where if you believe this stuff, you like have demons channeling through your body or something. And I didn't want to do that. October 7th of 2007, I ran the Chicago Marathon. It was the third marathon I had run. And this was the only one I had legitimately trained for. Like, I'm going sub 4 hours. I mean, I was at a place, if you called me on the phone and said, hey, let's go run 20, done. Let's go do it. I'm in good shape, right? And in 2007, I was running the marathon. We prayed before that day that God would be glorified before we went and ran the marathon. That's what we prayed. And we started in the back so that we could pass people because it's psychologically good when you start cruising by people. And that's what we were doing. And I ran with a friend. We ran all summer long. Some days he was better. Some days I was better. Both same pace. We knew what we were going to do. That day in Chicago, temperatures went up to 88 degrees, nearly 90 degrees that day. Humid. Chicago Marathon ran out of water. People were passing out because they were dehydrated and all that stuff. And if you know me at all, I'm super competitive. So I'm like, I don't care what happens. I'm finishing this sucker. But normally at about mile 17, I would start to feel a little fatigue. I started feeling fatigue at mile 2, right? And I kept asking my friend, are you feeling this? He's like, no, I feel okay. Are you feeling this at mile 5? No, I feel okay. At mile 13, I saw my wife and I'm like, pray for me. I don't even know if I can finish this thing. At mile 15, I started telling my friend, if you're feeling okay, you just need to leave, because we started to do the walk run thing, which we had never done. And I was mad. I'm like, mad. Like, why are we doing this? And for 3 miles, I kept saying, just leave. And he started quoting Top Gun. And he was like, you never leave your wingman and all this kind of stuff. And so for 3 miles to mile 18, I kept telling him, just go. Finally, at mile 18, he looks at me. He's like, you wouldn't leave me, would you? And I'm like, well, if you had asked me for the last 3 miles, I for sure would. And so he takes off. So I'm kind of walking, running in downtown Chicago in between mile 18 and 19 saying, Lord, I trained, I prayed. What the heck is this? Right? It wasn't but minutes after that, I was jogging on the race course and I noticed there was a guy that was down, but this was different than other people that were down. This guy wasn't down because of dehydration. This guy was down, down. This guy was unconscious and had blood coming out of his mouth. And they were shooing people off to the side of the race. They're like, everybody get over, get over. So I'm getting over. I noticed people are starting CPR on him and I just felt prompted to go pray for the guy. So I kind of wheel back around and I get down on my knees and I start praying by this guy's head. And when I knelt down to pray in English, all those same words that were in my office kept coming out of my mouth all over this guy in a way that kind of freaked me out a little bit, to be honest, because I'm like, what are you doing? You know, like, but it felt right. So I kept praying. Then I got a tap on the shoulder and somebody's like, what are you doing here? And in English, I said, well, I'm just praying for the guy. Okay, you stay. Everybody else get away, right? So I prayed for him again. I went down to pray. Language is coming out. I didn't know what I was saying. Ambulance pulled up, paramedics pulled up. I'm done because I don't know what to do. I turn around and leave. I hear this in my heart for the rest of the race. Jeff, the most important thing in this life is being prepared for the next. The most important thing in this life is being prepared for the next. I mean, over and over, the most important thing in this life is being prepared for the next. About a half an hour later, they shut the race down. Rumor had it that a guy had died. I assumed it was that guy. I called my wife, told her I was okay, but it was going to take me a while to finish and finish the race. And we got home that night. I looked up on the internet, and sure enough, Chad Scheiber at age 35 dropped dead on Ashland Avenue right as I was praying over him that day. So I was like, God, what in the world was that? So it said that he had a funeral at a certain church service. So I looked it up online and it said, as soon as I pulled up the thing, it said Assemblies of God Church. And I'm like, oh, these people know about tongues. Cool. I'm calling them, asking them what's up. So I called the pastor the next day. I said, hey, I'm an evangelist. I called the secretary. I said, hey, I'm an evangelist. I need to talk to your pastor. She thought I was trying to get a speaking gig. So she's like, he's really busy right now. And so I said, I get it. Just tell him on Ashland Avenue yesterday in Chicago, I prayed over Chad Scheiber as he died. So he took my call. And I start explaining to him the story that I explained to you. And all I hear on the other end of this phone is, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, that's so incredible, awesome. And I'm like, can you please explain to me what happened? I went to Dallas Seminary. We're not taught that there, right? And he's like, what I believe is you were praying exactly what needed to be prayed as angels were carting him away to Jesus. I said, so he was a believer. He's like, yeah, he's a believer. He was training to be an elder in our church. He's one of the most well-liked people. Have you told his wife about this yet? I'm like, I don't even know any of y'all. He said, will you come to the funeral and share? Because here's what happened. That day, the race got stopped at mile 18 right after I passed it, and they routed everybody back to the finish line. His wife was running the race, was a mile behind him, so she got routed back to the finish line. Waited for him for a while, wasn't coming back, went and took a shower, came back, and he still wasn't there, went back to her room, still waiting for him. Knock on the door, thinking it's her husband, Chad. The door opens and says, hey, your husband's dead. And the pastor said her biggest concern was that she wasn't there praying over him when he went to meet Jesus. Would you please come share the story? So I came and shared the story. Guys, from that moment on, when it comes to tongues, I can speak in tongues when I want. I don't have to speak in tongues other times. I pray mostly in English, just so that you know. But if you're saying, oh, we're going to be like a tongue-speaking church, I planted the church. We've been a tongue-speaking church since we planted the church, right? But why don't you talk about it anymore? Because it's not for the body. It doesn't edify anybody else. I'm telling you, God's given me a language to love him even more, and I use it sometimes. But here's what I would say. When it comes to speaking in tongues, as you earnestly desire, if you earnestly desire the gift of tongues, here would be a strong encouragement. Be able to pray in English first. I mean, some of you are like, I'm just going to pray for tongues. That'll be magic. No, how about saying Jesus is Lord in English? Because again, gifts are not a sign of maturity, right? It's just a gift, right? So I believe prophecy and tongues still exist. I don't believe they're a sign of maturity. There are plenty of people that have lived on this planet that will not have the gift of tongues, that will not have the gift of prophecy, that are more mature than many people who have, right? But earnestly desire them. And that's why Paul goes on to say this. When it comes to your gifts, this final point, and I'll go quickly, consider how using your gifts will best benefit others. I mean, whatever gifts God gives you, no matter where you're at, no matter where you work, no matter who you're around, no matter what church you're a part of, think about how your gifts can best benefit others. This is what Paul says. He says this, therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. In other words, if you have the gift of tongues, pray for the gift of interpretation so you know what in the world it is that you're saying. He says, why? Because when praying a tongue, my heart is full, but my mind is unfruitful. You would have think that the very next thing Paul would say, therefore, I'm not going to speak in tongues anymore. He says just the opposite. Notice what he says. What's the outcome then? I'll pray with the Spirit and I'll pray with my mind. I will also sing with the Spirit and I will sing with my mind also. In other words, Paul's saying tongues are fine if used properly, but use your mind too. How do we use our mind? In the Word of God. I pray the Word of God way more than I pray in tongues. Pray the Word of God because the Word of God is true and everlasting. I like praying in English. I like knowing what I'm praying about. I like telling the Lord how worthy and awesome he is and how I'm in need of him. Amen? He says, otherwise, in verse 16, here's the concern. If I bless in the Spirit only, how will anyone who fills the place of the ungifted, which is somebody who can't interpret it, say the amen at your giving thanks since he does not know what you're saying? In other words, if a person's giving a word in a tongue and nobody knows what it is, you can't say amen, brother, amen, sister. They don't even know what you're saying, right? For you are giving thanks well enough, which is good, but the other person's not edified. Therefore, he says, I thank God. Paul praises God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Tongues is a great gift for Paul. He loves it. He's glad he's using the gift. However, in the church, I desire to speak 5 words with my mind so that I may instruct others also rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. In other words, in a corporate setting, I'd rather say Jesus Christ is the Lord than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Why? Because the purpose of the church is exalting Jesus and building others up. So what does God tell you to do? He tells you this, be humble, be sincere, earnestly desire the gifts, desire how the Lord might use the gifts to build up others, and use any gift that God gave you to exalt the Lord Jesus and build others up.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Striving for Spiritual Gifts, from the series Stronger. He encouraged you to desire for God to use your gifts to build up others and exalt the Lord Jesus. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit BravePastorJeff.com. That's BravePastorJeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.